And, again, we begin to hold things inside, close our mouth when we feel angry, and that's the beginning of restoring our health in that area. But one of the methods that the church fathers used is the remembrance of the passions of Christ. When somebody did something to us, real, real nasty, we compare ourselves to Christ. And we ask ourselves, now what did Christ do? Did he do the kind of sins that we did? He was immaculate, pure. And look what happened to him. And he forgave everyone. He would have even forgiven Judas if Satan would not go in his heart. This is Satan paralyzed Judas's heart, and he led him to despair. He forgave Peter very easily. He forgave all the other people that persecuted him. Many of them became Christians. During Pentecost, most of the people that converted were Jews. They were all forgiven. So the first thing to do is, when somebody harms us or we have this feeling of resentment, is to remember Christ, his passion, and to question ourselves, what kind of Christians are we? How can we call ourselves Christians? And hopefully this will humble us and begin to put out this hate or spite, whatever we feel. Think of Saint Stephen, Saint Macarius, the martyrs. Number two, love your enemies does not necessarily mean, go give them a job or bring them inside your home. That's not necessary. If it is impossible to love someone very close because right now, the wound is so sore and this person has caused you so much harm, it's okay to bandage yourself. You can isolate yourself from that person. And slowly, with time and prayer, we can begin to feel sorry for that person because that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the treatment. To look at that person as deluded by the devil. Behind these people is the devil. And to look that he's the one that causes them to do these things. And to begin to earnestly pray for their salvation. It's a difficult thing to do. But constantly we need to speak to Christ very simply and humbly and say, look, I can't do this. It's not up to me. I don't have the strength to do this. I can only do this if you help me. And a very good prayer that I heard from a person a couple of weeks ago was, take a little bit of a drop of your love that you have for this person. Just take a drop of your love and put it on my heart. So I can begin to feel something good about that person. Because I know that I want to. So the idea is not if you can. No, you cannot. It's not humanly possible for some of these difficult situations. Especially when we're talking about, the death of a loved one. It's very difficult. The destruction of a home. It's extremely difficult. But very humbly, we can go to Christ and say, I can't do this. I can do it with your help if you help me. Help me to do this. And we pray like this on a daily basis. And we put the name of this person on the head of the top of our list. And we give their names out to monasteries. And hopefully we'll not take 20 years like we did for Esau and Jacob. And the question is, do we want to? And if we want to, Christ will give us, he will see our priorities, and he will give us time to some point feel love for that person. But blessed are the people that can do this right away. But see, it takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility. I mentioned last night the story about Saint Dionysius and the murder of his brother. He went to hide at the monastery. here, this person just murder this monk's, this holy man's brother. And he knew it. And his other siblings were trying to kill him. So he hid him. He lied to them and told them, and yes, lying is not good, but when it comes to saving a soul, must do it. And then we'll go to confession. He said, no, I haven't seen him. He's not here. He's not here. He's going probably at another town. He probably took off. After they left, he gave him his own personal boat so he could go and save himself and repent. But it takes a lot of humility and repentance and fasting, you see, and prayer. So Christ says, pray for those that persecute you and spitefully abuse you, not only for them, but more importantly, so you don't enter into temptation. In a mi serte te spirasmon. When you pray for that person, you're going to keep anger from entering you. So we constantly pray for those that hurt us and persecute us. And again, it's much easier said than done. St. John of the Ladder says, after you fought this evil for a while, and you cannot overcome it, this is a very good practice to do. You know, let's say you just lost your job or someone robbed you. You know, best thing to do is begin to praise that person in public and at least make excuses for them. But most of the time, we begin to badmouth them and curse them and tell them how horrible they are and how they're ruining your life. That's the other way. St. John of the Ladder says, if you cannot overcome this evil, this resentment, you know, you lost your job and, you know, somehow you feel that, you know, this was wrongful. You know, begin to make excuses for your employer and say, you know what, he's not a bad guy. He had to let someone go. I mean, there's a couple hundred people there and some he had to let someone go, so he let me. It's okay. Now, inside you, you might not feel that way. Inside you might be burning a little bit. But what's going to happen is when you go home, you're going to feel hypocritical. And you will feel ashamed. And now you're going to feel guilty. And you're going to say, boy, what kind of Christian are you here? You're going to monasteries, you're studying the scriptures. Look at you, you're a mess. You can't even forgive. You know, you're lying about this person. What's wrong with you? So with self-criticism, when we constantly speak well about the other person, okay, and we accentuate your positive traits, now slowly we will begin to let that go, to forgive them. You know. Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain says, one way, and I mentioned this yesterday, one of the ways of humility is, see, anger is lack of humility. That's all it is. When we're angry, most of the time is because we don't have patience and because we don't understand the wisdom of God in these matters. See, God loves us, and when he sees that there's no other way to cure our arrogance, our selfishness, our philatelia, when he sees that there's no other way, then he allows these different temptations to shape up our life. To hurt a little bit here in this life, but to find the salvation of our paralytic soul. So whatever injustice is done to you, look at it as God's remedy for the cure of your soul. Look at this as a canon for your sins and my sins. This person did this. Of course, the devil was behind it, but God allowed it, because not even a leaf drops without God allowing it. So whatever is happening to me right now, God knows about it. He's allowing it. So he wants to help me. When we look at it this way, then we'll begin to fall in love with this person, because if we ever make it to heaven, our best helpers would be the most difficult people in our lives. And we'll begin to pray for them there, because then we will understand how helpful this medicine that they gave us was. But if we don't have spirituality, then we become depressed. If we don't have spirituality, if we're not ready, if we don't have humility, then we need drugs. You see? In the lack of spirituality, then we need psychiatry. The people that are on their way to a spirituality and understand these things, when these things are happening, God gives them patience because they are in the sacramental area of the church. But the person who's away from the church, when these things are happening, you know, then they simply become depressed. And that's why about 300 million people today suffer from some kind of psychosomatic, psychological illness, according to the World Organization of Health. 300 people worldwide. They have semi-healthy bodies, but they're very sick people inside. Now, what is the proof that we have been freed from this passion? Some people say, well, I pray for this person every day. And that's good. That's not proof that we have forgiven totally. St. John of the Ladder says, what is proof that you have totally forgiven, let's say, the mother-in-law, or, you know, this person, or your friend, or your employer, or the other person that ruined your business, whatever? What is proof? If you ever hear that something awful happened to them. Let's say that you heard that they broke their leg. You don't sit there and say, oh, good, finally they got theirs. You know, obviously we haven't forgiven yet, okay? When we hear that something horrible happened to them, then we cry and be saddened like it was one of our own children, like it was one brother of ours. Do you see the sensitivity of the church fathers? The sensitivity. Now, is anger allowed for Christians? And if it's not, then why did God allow anger to be one of the emotions of our soul? Can we get angry at people? And when? Well, yes, we can harbor resentment against the demons. Against the demons. And not the demons as creations of God, but as agents of sin. You know, we can hate what they're ready to do to us. And in the Psalms, it talks about perfect hatred. I hated them with a perfect hatred. And we have to exercise anger against sin. We can get angry against the person that's trying to push us into sin. Some husband was trying to force the children and the wife to become Pentecostals. At that point, okay, we will not use politeness. We can raise our voice. Be very direct and get angry and say, listen, you go your way. I will never leave my faith. That's it. You can get angry against the person that's trying to lead us into sin. Someone who's constantly flattering us. A young man who's constantly after you, to the young women. They won't go away with politeness. Show your teeth. It's okay in that situation to show your teeth. Okay? And then they'll go away. Christ did the same thing. Get behind me, Satan. Get lost. Out of here. He got angry with the merchants. It's a holy anger. That is permissible. And God allowed this anger in our heart to use it against the demons and the devil. Something that Eve did not do early on. With prayer, with fasting, with the help of the spiritual father, by confessing these things constantly, these emotions begin to be eliminated. It is not something that we can do by psychology or by reading a few books. It is not easy. This is something that God will fight for us. Christ will fight our enemies, and these are our enemies, the demons. By going to confession, we show humility. We remind ourselves of our sins constantly, and God will give us the grace to heal our paralytic soul. And then eventually, we will begin to feel sorrow for this person that was used by the devil to do something evil against us. And when we compare the evil that we have done against God with these minimal sins of the people against us, then we begin to finally come to an understanding. And anyone who has reached this step, let him boldly ask the Savior Jesus for release from his sins. If we develop this, salvation becomes very easy with not a lot of deeds. And I will close with this example that all of you probably know. In a monastery, a monk was known for his laziness. After he was tonsured, he confessed, he was always late for the services. Constantly late, he ate more, he fasted less, and the rest of the brothers began to gossip a little bit. Look at him. I don't know why he became a monk, you know. They're constantly judging him. Well, years passed by and he did not improve much. He did the get by. Well, time came that he's ready to die, and so he's on his deathbed. And all these other brothers now, they are curious. You know, about tall houses and about, the demons and everything that's happening around time of death. So they're waiting to see. They're kind of curious. What's going to happen with this guy? How's he going to defend himself? Well, they look at him, and his face is very bright. He's cool, calm, collected. And finally, they go to the elder, and they say, "Elder, go ask him. We don't understand. Why is he so confident?" And the elder went and asked him, "Child, the brothers want to know, where do you find all this courage? You're almost ready to die." And he says, "When I first came to the monastery, I read the scriptures, and I read one thing. And I know that most of you are much better monks than me, and, you know, I wasn't the best monk. But I read one thing, and I'm going to hold Christ to it. I read in the scriptures that if I don't judge, he will not judge me. So all this time that I was in the monastery, I never judged a single one of your actions. And now when I appear to Christ, I'm going to tell him, you told me not to judge anyone, and you will not judge me." And the elder said, "This brother earned paradise very easily." Any other comments? Yes.
How are you supposed to love these people? This wolf that came to take your child, how are you supposed to love them?
You will love them from far, from a distance. You know, you will love them from a distance.
Are you supposed to forgive them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this person came. They have been deceived. They have been deceived, you know, by Satan. You know, a person comes and, you know, let's say right now, just to give an example, they have TB, tuberculosis. and they give it to your child. How can you hate the other person? They had it and they gave it. You can't really hate him. You're not necessarily going to be pleased with the situation, but how is it, you know, how is it their fault?
We're talking about evil that comes to take your child.
They're not evil. You know, evil does not exist as an entity. Okay. They're simply have been deceived by the evil one, by the devil. And at this point, because they are infected and they are dangerous, you know, we will distance them. And we'll pray that someday they may come to the truth. The church prays for everyone to come to the deep knowledge of the truth and be saved. But just like someone who has leprosy, and it's very contagious, we will distance that person from us. And we can love them from far. And if we see a person that's heretical or of another faith or whatever, or our enemy, and they need food and they're hungry, we will feed them. Okay. However, we will also instruct our children not to go near those people. You know, but they are in the image of God. God made them. God made them. They are not, they were not created evil somehow because of society, because, and this will help you, because as Orthodox, we were not very good examples in this land, and as Orthodox and as Christians, we gave a terrible example to the world. That's why today we have Muslims. That's why today we have Hindus. Because if we ourselves did the kind of job that St. Cosmas the Aetolian did, if we did the job of St. Basil the Great, and we followed their example, and we would be shining stars of orthodoxy, today everybody would be orthodox. So we are at fault because these people are deluded. So knowing all that, we distance them because we see the immediate danger, and we pray that they may become well someday. We pray for you, but we cannot pray with you because we're not one. We look at you as someone who's dead at this point, and you know, you're a cut branch, you know, and we hope and pray that the Holy Spirit of God brings you to the knowledge of the truth. And we'll pray for them and we'll be kind to them. The only time we'll become angry is when they begin to inoculate our child. Okay. No more questions, so we'll have Father close with a prayer. Unless Nico may have some announcements.
Not really. thank you so much, Constantine, for coming. At the bookstore, I'm known for comments. I'm stunned by your talk. I thank God for giving you the fortitude and enlightenment to talk about this topic of forgiveness, because many times we talk about all the other virtues, but we tend to forget about, you know, forgiveness. So forgive me for forgetting about that.
Thank God for forgiving.
I mean, Father, sorry, those of you who know me, I'm not usually short for words, so we could just finish the prayer. Oh, actually, sorry, there are some tapes and videos at the back, so feel free to help yourself. And some books as well. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, unto the ages of ages. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Father, bless.
Όλοι μαζί, διευχών των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ, ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν. God bless you.
Αμήν.
Ευχαριστώ.
Τι υπερμάχο, Πάτε.
Ναι, τι υπερμάχο. Όλοι μαζί. Τι υπερμάχο.
Υπερμάτω στρατηγότα νικητήρια, ως λυτρωθήσας των δεινών ευχαριστή. Oh, ανήφεται.
Ευχαριστούμε τον κύριο Ζαλάλα που ήρθε από την Αμερική και μας κήρυξε το λόγο του Θεού. Ευχαριστούμε και τον Νίκο που και αυτός εργάστηκε για να γίνει αυτή η ωραία συγκέντρωση και την αδελφότητα του Αποστόλου Παύλου. Και εύχομαι ότι πιστεύω ότι όλοι κάτι ωφεληθήκαμε αυτές τις δύο μέρες. God bless you.
I mean, we also forgot to mention thank the Church of St. George for opening up the church for us. And hopefully, I mentioned yet last night, we'll try to make this an annual event with your help and your prayers. So, thank you again.
Anyway, ο Θεός να ευλογεί τις γυναίκες σας, τους άντρες σας, τα παιδιά σας, τις εργασίες σας. Εύχομαι θα καλή σαρακοστή και εύχομαι ο Θεός να με αξιώσει να φτάσουμε και μέχρι το Πάσχα. The Lord be with you. God bless you.
Ever, Lord.